Amen. Open your Bible to the book of Psalms, chapter 19. Psalms, chapter 19. We'll start there this morning. But aren't you thankful for the Word of God? And if it wasn't for the Bible, where would we be, right? And, you know, the Bible, first and foremost, is God's revelation of Himself to us. It's how we know who God is. And, of course, then, second to that is what He expects of us. And if we're not careful, we'll get those two backwards. We'll look at the Bible as just a rule book. We'll look at it as just a manual on how to live, as opposed to what it really truly was designed to be, first and foremost, was God letting us know who He was. And so whenever you read the Bible, whether it's in your personal devotion time or just at leisure or whatever it may be, always look for God first and foremost. As a matter of fact, you don't necessarily turn there, but Genesis 1, the very first verse of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the Bible starts out with God. And the Bible doesn't seek to try to prove the existence of God or anything, it just simply states the fact that He is and that He exists. And of course, we find later on statements by God, I am. He told Moses that. Jesus Christ also said that several times, I am certain things. And so as we study the Bible and as we read the Bible and understand the Scriptures, it can really only truly be understood in the light of the fact that it's God's revelation of Himself to us. It's how we know God. The next thing, I believe, maybe I don't know, maybe not necessarily the next thing, but I guess if you're looking for an order of things, or in my own mind, I think to myself, the next thing I've got to do is I've got to accept it and believe it. You know, if I don't believe the Bible, or may I say, if I only believe parts of the Bible, then there's a real problem. Because really, and we'll talk about this here in a moment, really this is where we get everything from. It is our authority for faith and practice. It's what we look to know how to live, right? It's what we look to know what to believe. It's what we look to know about salvation. It's what we look to know about everything that there is to know about. And you ought to get in the habit, if you can develop it, you ought to get in the habit of coming up against the circumstances and situations of life and the decisions that you have to make and things like that every day, asking yourself, well, I wonder what the Bible says about that. Because the Bible covers every topic you'll ever deal with or ever face. And so as we understand the Scriptures, first and foremost, we look for God. And then secondarily to that, I've got to accept it and believe it. Then after that, I've got to allow it to make a change in my life. You know, if I don't put it into practice, what good is it? And may I say this? The devil doesn't care how often you make decisions as long as you wait till tomorrow to actually follow through with that decision. So it's not about waiting until we leave the building, or it's not about waiting until the next opportunity. It's about doing exactly what God said right now. And so after we find God, then we find out about who we are. The Bible reveals to us who we are. You go to the book of Genesis and you find there that when Adam and Eve sinned, God came looking for them, remember, and He called out to them, where art thou? And Adam said, well, we knew we were naked. And He said, wait a minute, time out. Who told you were naked? You didn't know before. Now all of a sudden you've got some problems, and we got to deal with these problems. And it revealed to Adam and Eve, the Word of God revealed to them who they were. And of course it does the same thing for us. But look at Psalm chapter number 19 here, and starting in verse number 7, the Bible says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now watch this. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. I don't know many people, if any, may I be honest, myself included, that consistently, regularly values the Bible above paying my bills. Can we just be honest this morning? I don't know many people who can honestly say consistently through their life, I would rather have the Bible than a paycheck. Now, I understand God gives us those things, but the Bible says more to be desired are they than gold. Yet, we're talking about the Scriptures. Verses 7, 8, and 9, they're all about the Bible, all about the Scriptures, the things that God has given, His revelation of Himself to us. And why is that? Because when you know God and you've got God, you've got everything else. What did he say in Matthew? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, what? And all these things shall be added unto you. Go there real quick. Look at Matthew real quick in verse number, or chapter number 7, I believe it is. Matthew chapter 7. Very, very interesting here. Something that we ought to remember. We forget often. Matthew chapter 6. Starting in verse number 24 there, Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. That word mammon there is an interchangeable term for possessions, money, material things. So you can't serve God and what this world has to offer. He goes on, therefore, so because of that, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? It talks about the fowls of the air and the lilies of the field. And skip down to verse number 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or whatsoever? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For, watch this. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have, what's the next word? Need of all these things. It's not that you don't need clothing. It's not that you don't need food or shelter or what we would call the amenities of life. God knows we need those things. But when we make that the focus of our lives as opposed to the Scriptures and what it has to offer, then we miss out. Because then he says, verse 33 there, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, you can get one without the other, but if you get the other, you get the one too. You can go after these things if you want to, but you'll miss out on God. But if you seek after God and make Him primary, as we find in the Scriptures, of course, then He adds all those other things that we need too. So it's very important to understand that the Bible ought to hold a primary place, an exalted place in our hearts and our minds, in our lives. We find that we're to study the Bible. Study to show thyself approved unto God, right? A workman that needs not to be ashamed. We're to memorize the Bible. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. We're to meditate in the Scriptures. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. We're to do all those things, and yet so often we fail to do it. But why? Why is all of that so important? Look over at the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. We find here, if I may use the term, the benefit that we get from Scriptures, or what the Scripture does for us, the works of the Bible in our life. 2 Timothy, chapter number 3, and start in verse number 14. Sorry, verse number 14. The Bible says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. It's interesting there, we find the first thing that the Bible does for us is it gives us wisdom for salvation. Now, let me say a statement, then clarify it. The Bible doesn't save you. The Bible makes you wise to your need of salvation. I've talked to people before, and I've witnessed to people before, and I'll go through the scriptures, and I'll go through what we call the Romans Road and explain to them their need for Christ. And I'll say, do you believe that? Do you believe the Bible? Will you accept what it says? And I've had people say, well, I'm just not sure I believe everything in there. And unfortunately, I'll say to them, and not in an unkind way, I'll say, I'm sorry, then I can't help you. Because if you can't accept it and believe it, the wisdom that it gives you doesn't do anything. Because the scriptures make you wise to show you your need for the Savior. We go to Romans, I believe. There's some explanation there in the book of Galatians also. Why was the law given in the Old Testament? From a New Testament perspective, we find that the law was given to show sin to be exceedingly sinful. To show people that they could not attain righteousness on their own. It wasn't given for the purpose of having necessarily right relationship with God, although there were some things involved in that. But it was for the purpose of showing the people that all those commandments and all those sacrifices weren't good enough. We fast forward the book of Hebrews, and we find that in Jesus Christ, there was a better sacrifice. One that was made once for all, the Bible tells us. And as we understand that, we understand from the Bible again, of course, from the scriptures, the wisdom that comes that helps us to understand the need for salvation. And then notice the wording here, make you wise unto salvation. Here it is, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So how do we get saved? By exercising faith in what Christ did on the cross for us. Not anything that I've done, not anything that I have to offer. All my righteousnesses are as filthy rags, right? For by works of righteousness, no man is justified, the Bible tells us. So it has nothing to do with the goodness that I have to offer or the good things that I could do. It has everything to do with the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross for me as a human being. And as I read the Bible, as I study the Bible, and as I understand it, it gives me the wisdom to understand my need for a Savior, which can only come through the Lord Jesus Christ, not through anything else. Jesus said, we know it, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation, we find in Acts. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So the Bible, as we read it and study it, it helps us to know God, and it helps us to know ourselves, first and foremost, the fact that we need a Savior. We need a Savior. We need a Savior, of course, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and exercising faith in Him will give us salvation. Notice the next thing here in verse number 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's an interesting word. It literally means God-breathed. Go over to 2 Peter, if you would, just a couple pages over, 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Look at verse number 16. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the holy mount. Now this is a record that Peter is giving, a retelling of the events that took place on what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. When Jesus took Peter, James, and John up into the mountain, He was transfigured before them, and Moses and Elijah also appeared there, you remember. And Peter said, hey, we need to build some altars here. And of course, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, the voice from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He's remembering that, and He's talking about that here. He said, I was there, I heard it. I saw the things that took place. I was an eyewitness of those events. Then notice what He says in verse number 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. You realize what he's saying? There's something even more of a guarantee than what I actually saw. There's something more reliable than my own eyewitness account. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What is that? That is a more reliable, what he's saying is the written word of God, the Scriptures, is a more reliable testimony than what I actually saw when I was standing in the mountain. That's pretty amazing. But sometimes what we see can deceive us. Sometimes, you ever thought you witnessed an event and then you went and told somebody else about it that was there, or you were talking about it later and they're like, that's not at all how it happened. Like, were you even there? It didn't even happen that way. And you realize just, I don't know, because of maybe a distraction or something, something took place and it got misconstrued or misunderstood. But Peter's saying, look, I want you to understand how reliable the Bible is and how trustworthy it is. I was actually in the mountain. I was on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was transfigured. I heard with my own ears the voice from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He said, but I know there's something more reliable than that, and that's the Word of God. And so we go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we notice here in 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You see, that's why all of the Bible is important. May I say, even the parts that we don't understand? But guess what? That's why we've been given the Holy Spirit. Because when He comes, what will He do? He'll guide us into all truth. And as we read the Scriptures, as we read the Bible, say, I'm just not sure I quite understand that. And we say, Holy Spirit, help me understand this. And what does He do? He illumines our understanding. He doesn't inspire us. Inspiration took place once and it's done. There's no more inspiration going on. We have the inspired Word of God. And may I add the word preserved inspired Word of God. And may I add also, at least for myself and hopefully for you, in the King James Bible. And so we find the preserved inspired Word of God in what I believe to be the best English translation for English-speaking people in the King James Bible. We know that we can trust it. Why? Because it came from God Himself. These aren't just ideas that people put down on paper and wrote about, some neat stories about a guy getting swallowed by a whale and some, a cloud leading some people through the desert. They're not just a collection of stories. Peter said, look, we didn't follow cunningly devised fables. We have a more sure word of prophecy. And it's that inspired word of God that we know as the Scriptures, the Bible. And it makes us wise unto salvation. And notice here, and it's profitable, verse number 16, for doctrine. You know what profitable means, right? You know what profit, everybody knows what profit is, right? Profit is something that you gain from. And so it's profitable. It's for our gain. And what is it profitable for? It's profitable for doctrine. What is that? What to believe? That's what you believe. Now watch this. What you believe will determine how you behave. Somebody says, well, I believe the Bible. Watch their behavior. You say, well, I believe the Bible. I say, well, I believe the Bible. I look at my behavior to see if it really is true. Because what you believe will determine how you behave. And what you think about will determine what you believe. That's why it's so important that we meditate in the Scriptures and think on them. Think on these things, the things that are pure and lovely and just and a good report. And look, all of those things are encompassing words that describe what the Scriptures are. And as we think on those things, we begin to develop a belief system. We go to the scriptures. God reveals himself to us. We are wise unto salvation. Now we take the next step on knowing what to believe so we know how to behave. And so we begin what we call this Christian journey, right? We get saved, we trust Christ as our Savior, and we put our faith and trust in him, and we have a home in heaven, and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, all the different things that the scriptures talk about. And then we begin what we call that Christian journey, and we begin to live our lives and determine the things that we believe. And then we begin to behave, and what happens? We mess up. And notice the next word here, for doctrine, for reproof. What does the Bible do? It reproves you. It reproves me. It reproves us. Nobody likes reproof. Nobody likes to be told that they were wrong. Nobody likes to hear said to them, look, that you shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. You made a mistake there. May I use the words of Scripture? You sinned. That was wrong. That's reproof. You see, I have found in my own life there are times where the Bible is neglected because I don't want to hear what's wrong. Can we just be honest this morning? I don't want to hear what's wrong. I don't want to be reproved. I know it. Haven't made it right yet. Haven't trusted or asked forgiveness, not for salvation, but for right relationship and fellowship with Christ and with God. But the Bible gets neglected. Why? Because of reproof. I don't want to be reproved. So it gets pushed off to the side. Thankfully, it doesn't stop there. The next word here is for reproof, for correction. What is that? What is right? Tells me what I need to do that is right. And be quite honest with you, there's a lot of people that don't like that part either. There's a lot of people that just say, well, I don't want to hear what's right. I'll go it alone. I'll try to figure it out on my own. And, of course, as a result of that, make a big mess out of things. But it's profitable. It's for your good. It's for your benefit. For doctrine, it tells you what to believe. It tells you where you go wrong for reproof. It's profitable for correction. It tells you what is right. And then notice the last phrase there, for instruction in righteousness. In other words, how to stay right. But then what happens is we mess up, do something wrong, and we have to be reproved again. And then corrected, and then instructed, and then we mess up, and then we have to be reproved, we have to be corrected. You get the idea. It becomes cyclical, unfortunately. It shouldn't be that way. The Christian life was never designed to be a roller coaster. Up one day, down the next, victory, defeat, mountaintop, valley. It was never designed to be that way. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, we were meant to go from strength to strength. Not from strength to weakness to strength to weakness. But that's how we live the Christian life. And we think that's the norm. But that's not how God designed it. Now I understand we're all battling a sin nature. We're all struggling with this flesh and the corruption that's within us called sin. And I get all of that. But if we can get to the point where we can yield to the Holy Spirit and see the way of escape, things would be so much better, wouldn't they? Problem is we don't. So we have to be reproved. We have to be corrected. We have to be instructed again. We go back to the doctrine. We go back to finding what we believe. We got the salvation. It's settled. It's done. It's over. Let's move on to the next things. What you believe. What's wrong. What's right. How to stay right. And what does all of that do? Notice the next word there in verse number 17. That. So this is what it accomplishes. That the man of God may be perfect. That doesn't mean sinless. That means complete. Not lacking. We're never going to be sinless. We're born in sin. We're sinners by birth and sinners by choice. We don't have to be sinners by choice, but we are. There's no temptation taking you, right? But such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. We can choose not to sin, but we don't. We don't. We choose to. But the whole purpose behind the scriptures is to make me perfect, complete, and whole, without any lacking part, so that I can be useful to Christ. Notice there, a perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Go over to Romans. I'm sorry, Ephesians. I'm trying to remember what. Ephesians 2. Verse number 8. Familiar verse. Ephesians 2, verse 8. Says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And boy, we're thankful for those verses, right? We don't have to do anything. All we have to do is exercise faith in Christ. That's a wonderful thing. It's great. And we use those verses a lot. But usually that's where we stop. But look at the next verse. "For we are his workmanship." You ever heard that little song? "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be." That's what that's talking about. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus," here it is, "unto good works." Now watch this. "Which God hath before ordained that they should walk in them." So salvation is not just a ticket out of hell into heaven. Excuse me for saying it that way. It's not just to get out of hell to be able to go to heaven. And then I'm good, I'm done. No, as a matter of fact, God saved me, and before he ever saved me, he established the fact that I was to be a workman created in Christ Jesus unto good works for his glory and for his honor. Before I ever got saved, he designed it that way. For each and every one of us individually. But without this book, I would never know that. Because the book tells me that. The Bible tells me that. "Wherefore remember," watch this, verse 11. "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." That's wonderful. That's great. We're reconciled to God. But for what purpose? Just so I can say I'm a Christian? Just so I can say I have a home in heaven? Just so I can say I've got a mansion waiting for me? Is that all there is? No. He ordained, before I ever got saved, he ordained and knew that Dan Weber would get saved when he was 5 years old. And before that ever happened, he said, "I've ordained him to walk in good works." To follow through, to live out that salvation. It's not supposed to stop. You know, and then of course we go to Corinthians and we find that one day we're going to be judged according to those works. Some will suffer loss. Some will have wood, hay, stubble, right? Some will have gold, silver, precious stones. But understand this, it's not about to be able to say, "Well, I've got gold, silver, precious stones. What do you have over there?" It's not what we're going to be doing. Right now we kind of think that way, but that's not what's going to be happening. Because then what we're going to do is we're going to take the results of those works to the Lord Jesus Christ. And are we going to have to offer him ashes? Or are we going to be able to offer him some tangible things, some lasting things? You see, the whole purpose of crowns, and you know, we joking around, you know, "That's a jewel in your crown, you know, you did a certain thing, you're going to get a jewel in your crown." I understand all of that, but the fact of the matter is, it's not for the purpose of getting crowns. It's for the purpose of taking those crowns and casting them back at the feet of Jesus. Nothing we do is for this world. And the scriptures tell us all of that. Let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 3. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned," verse 14. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned." Why is he saying to continue? Well, if you look back at the previous verse, in verse 13, he says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You know, we talk about the last times, living in the last days, and understand this, the last day started in Acts chapter 1 when Jesus ascended to heaven. We've been in the last days for a little over 2,000 years now, or just about 2,000 years. Hopefully it's the last days. I don't know. But we ought to be looking every day for the coming of Christ, right? But in the last days, evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned, hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know what that means? That means we are supposed to be the antithesis to the world. We are to be the exact opposite of what the world is. They're waxing worse and worse. They're deceiving and being deceived. And we are to be the exact opposite. But the goal is not to be the exact opposite. The goal is the Bible. The goal is to know God. The goal is to know what the Bible says. And the Bible automatically makes those things work in my life. You see, we've got the cart before the horse to some extent, if we're not careful. And we make the byproduct the goal. The byproduct should never be the goal. The goal is not to live right, although that's what the byproduct will be. The goal is Christ. The goal is God. The goal is the Bible in my life. And the byproduct automatically happens. Perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so as we live out our Christianity, as we live out our Christian lives, you know, we talk about it, and rightfully so, we ought to. It's a wonderful thing. We talk about the Bible and its important place in our lives, but understand why it's so important. Oftentimes we get so caught up in the what that we miss the why. The Bible's so important because of these reasons. And as we live out our lives, we become more useful for God, not so that we can say, hey, look how useful I am. God used me to do this or that. No. It's so that we can say, look what God has done in my life. All glory to Him. Whether for you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, say it with me, do all to the glory of God. Right? Father, help us with this truth. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the difference that it makes in our lives. God, help us to be yielded to allowing it to make the kind of difference that it was designed to make in our lives. Forgive us for the times that we neglect your word. Forgive us for the times we neglect you. And help us to keep the Bible premier and center in everything that we do. All our thoughts, all our actions. And we thank you for the promise you've given us and these works that it accomplishes in and through us. Father, help us. We need your help. In Christ's name, stand with me if you would. 278, number 278, Psalms and Hymns. Sing a few verses. Perhaps the Lord spoke to your heart, the altar's open, or do business right there where you're at with the Lord. God's putting his finger on something in your life. Make sure you take care of it.
Jesus is tenderly calling me home, calling today, why from the sunshine of love will thou roam, farther and farther away, calling today. Yeah.
appreciate it. Tell somebody about Jesus this week. Tell somebody about Jesus. Give them a gospel track. And praise the Lord. Appreciate it. Jeff.
Thank you, Brother Dan. Thank you for coming today. And praise you. Just listen to the Lord as far as he spoke to your heart. And you deal with him as far as get things taken care of as far as there. Just want to make an announcement. We off. Make an announcement as far as this afternoon, tonight, after evening service. I'd like to meet with all the men of the church. All the men of the church meet. Brother Dan's going to be with us, and if you have any questions for Brother Dan, you can ask him at that time. So tonight, after the service, men's meeting, if you have any questions for Dan, you can ask him then. Also, so I don't forget it, I always forget this, somebody come forward for one or two of you as far as this gift of missions offering. We haven't done that in a while. So if you can, give to missions. I think it's close to 4th Sunday. Yeah. Thank you, Brother Antonio. All hearts, minds clear. Brother Chris, you dismiss us.